Tonight we'll be focusing on a few verses in the 15th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 15. Jesus, in this chapter, begins it with his teaching on the vine and the branches, the need to abide in him, that we might bear fruit, because we cannot bear fruit, we cannot survive apart from him. And by this he said in verse 8, "My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And then our focus is going to be on the next several verses. Beginning at verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And then he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So after speaking about the necessity of abiding in him that we might bear fruit, he explains something about how we abide in him and how we remain true to the love that we are to have for our one, our Savior, who is the one who died for us. And Jesus ties, it's interesting, the idea of obedience, faithfulness to do what God says, to the love that we profess to have, right? Everybody who claims to follow Jesus would say, I love Jesus, but then it's another thing to do what Jesus says. And that's a true test of our love for the Lord. Are we willing to do everything that he says? It's easy to do the things that are so positive and that nobody has a problem with, but there are other things that are a true challenge, a true difficulty, that are not easy to do. But if we do them, we show the Lord we love him, and if we do those things, we are abiding in him. That's where security is. That's where our safety is, our hope is of eternal life. And so, as my Father loved me, he says, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. He's shown. Jesus, you know, when the question was posed or the request was made to Jesus, show us the Father. Do you remember what he said? Have I been so long with you? You know, Jesus is the embodiment of the Father. Jesus, in his nature and all that he did, it's not about external appearance. It's about what he is, what he represents, all that he taught, his characteristics. Jesus is like unto God, and the love that he demonstrated is like the love that God had for him, but he has given it to us and demonstrated it to us. He explains, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus was true to do his Father's will. He said, I came into this world to do my Father's business. So all throughout his life, Jesus, in the teaching that he did and the miracles he performed and the sacrifices that he made, in the things that he was willing to suffer, he did his Father's will. Have you ever done something that somebody asked you to do and it was very hard, and in fact it cost you something? Not money necessarily, but your time, your resources, maybe even your safety, your security. For Jesus, it was his life. He did his Father's will to the point of, I'll die. I'll die for the world. Because God wanted to save humanity. And Jesus' love was right there as well. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. It wasn't very long before this that Jesus' disciples were a little bit perplexed and concerned because they understood that he was going to be leaving them. But he already told them at the beginning of chapter 14, you believe in the Father, believe also in me, and I'm going to prepare a place for you that I might come again and receive you to myself. And now he's telling them, I've told you all these things and I've taught you these things about love, about keeping my commandments, so that you might have joy and that it might remain with you. You can't possibly have a continued joy and a hope that this joy is going to continue if you don't continue to love God and you don't continue to do what God says that you must do. God's commands are a great challenge to humanity. There are many difficulties that we face because the world mostly doesn't do what God says. And so how easy is it to be different from everybody else and to take a path that very few people are taking? Is it easy to stand when no one else will stand with you? Is it easy to stand alone? Because that's often how it will feel. But when we love the Lord, when we keep His commandments, we have hope and we can have the joy of knowing that our security is certain, that we are preserved by the Lord. The commandment that He gives in verse 12 is very significant. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How many of us can truthfully say that our love for one another is at the level of what Christ has demonstrated for us? That's what we have to rise to. What does that look like? When we see the life that He lived and all that He did for people, He was a from sunup to sundown kind of person, and beyond that, giving of Himself for others in serving people, meeting their needs, teaching people, even rebuking and correcting people. That's not an easy thing to do because people stop liking you when you start doing that. But people who are God-fearing people will appreciate it. And Jesus was trying to reach all people, and He knew that there would be those, John chapter 6, who would turn and walk with Him no more. Because what Jesus tells us to do, this is a big challenge. And to live a holy life when the world wants to live a worldly life, an ungodly life, enjoying all the pleasures of sin, and we say, no, I can't do those things. That's a difficult thing, but God's love remains with us, and we must love one another to the point that we do those things that are difficult. So we can love one another in good times. Do we love one another in bad times? Do we love one another when the other person has done us wrong? We must love continually. God's love isn't on again, off again. God's love is always on. And especially we see the mindset of God is He loves everybody, but those that are going to be saved are what people? Not flawless people, but people who are willing to turn from their sins and their weaknesses and show penitence and begin walking with Him again. That's what we have to be. And our brothers and sisters in Christ around us are going to be people like we are, with weaknesses and frailties, and we have to have that mindset of forbearance, love, and help one another to grow and become what God wants us to be. My commandment, He says, is that you love one another as I have loved you. And then He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He was about to do that. And in fact, He calls upon all of us to have that same disposition of heart. So if we're going to grow to the point that I will lay down my life for my friends, what else should I be able to do? Anything else. If you're willing to die for your friends, you're willing to make sacrifices for your friends, you're willing to help your friends with whatever needs that they may have in the good times and the bad times, you'll be willing to correct and rebuke your friends because that's what true friends do, and you will reflect the kind of love that Christ has, being willing to lay down His life for His friends. And then He tells us this, you are my friends if, what? What's the test of whether or not we are friends of Jesus? If you do whatever I command you. Remember again the commands of the Lord. These are those that will enable us to get to heaven. This is what separates us from the world. So the mindset has already got to be, I'm not going to be like the world. That's just impossible for me to live as a faithful Christian and be like the world. It's not going to happen. I can't do that or I'll be lost. Because the world doesn't follow the Lord. So Jesus says, friendship with me is tied to doing what I command you. And so self-examination is needed on a regular basis. And a heart that is diligent to study the Word, you can't do what Jesus says when you don't know what He says. And you can't depend upon other people to tell you what He says because they might tell you wrong. You have to search for yourself what Jesus has said. Make sure that you know the truth and live by it. And when you're living by this truth and you know what it is and you are willing to do it no matter how difficult it is, you are a friend to Jesus. Sometimes we sing a song. Is it true? I'll be a friend to Jesus. Here he says, that's true when you do whatever I have commanded you. Tonight, as you reflect upon your life, think about where you stand. Are you a friend of Christ because you started that process by believing on him and doing what he calls upon you to do that you might be saved from your sins? You want to be a Christian? What does that involve? How do you get there? Being a Christian is synonymous with being saved. It's synonymous with being within the family of Christ, within the kingdom, the eternal kingdom. And you get there by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus, and being baptized so that your sins can be washed away by His blood, and then living a life demonstrating faithfulness to Him. It's the challenge that is before us, but it is how we show our love for our Lord who died for us. If you need to return home as a child of God who's become wayward, if your living is, you're struggling in your living, perhaps you've fallen into sin or you've just become discouraged, you need the prayers of your fellow Christians, remember whose invitation this is. This is the Lord inviting you to come. He can heal you, He can help you. If you need to come, won't you do that as we stand and sing?